The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up all? Aaron, but not that Aaron, here to tell you about SyphPop Writer's Room. For the past several years, there have been a growing amount of writers for SyphPop.com providing best ever challenges, movie reviews, themes, legacies, connections, and so much more. SyphPop Writer's Room is where that all comes together, giving a voice to those words that you read. And on the show, every week is excellent, getting to chat such a wide variety of movies with a wide variety of movie lovers, and I'm really having a lot of fun with the show, and I just think that you would too. So check out SyphPop Writer's Room wherever you listen to your podcast, and we'll see you over there. Just remember to knock first.
Hey, man.
I'm 12 minutes late. I apologize.
Don't worry.
Did you just walk out of your log cabin with a spring door?
I did. I need to WD-40 this log, this door. It's the one part of our house, if not, I don't know why. Like, we work to fix everything else except for this one door, and it squeaks like... You wouldn't believe it squeaks loud enough to be heard on the phone. So and then my wife gets mad at me because it's the one thing I'm not very handy, Corey. So even the thought of like I don't even know what WD-40 is. I just heard it talked about on a movie or something. You know what I mean?
I thought it was a radio station
out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, and they only play top 40. WD-40. My guest is singer, songwriter, performer, podcaster, author, friend from Downers Grove, Illinois, Matthew Joseph West.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
With the amount of catalog you have, how difficult is it to curate a set list for a concert?
Great question. The moment of getting on stage and the crowd knows the words to even one of your songs is not something that any singer would ever take for granted. Any singer who's ever had the experience of standing in front of a crowd, well, every singer has had the experience of getting in front of a crowd and singing songs, you know, at the beginning of their career when nobody's ever heard their music and the crowd's just looking at you, right? They're observing because they don't know this song, Hello, My Name is Child. Like, they don't know it. They don't know you. And it is humiliating. And it's like, you're putting yourself out there, right? Ever since I've had songs on the radio, thanks to you, getting on stage and having the crowd sing along with me, it feels like a safe place. So there's been moments even since then where I'll get on stage in front of a new audience, like, that doesn't listen to Christian music or whatever. And I'm brought back to like those college campuses I played when they were just watching you and they were looking at you like almost as if they were waiting for you to mess up. So to put the set list together and to have a lot of songs that, again, like, I mean, I consider myself so fortunate to have a bunch of songs where by the end of the show, it feels like we've had this sing-along, you know? I will say that the biggest challenge with putting the set list together is certain like older songs might have to get bumped to make way for the newer song because maybe it's a similar tempo, you know? So it's really weird. Like, people might not realize, like, putting a show together, you have to think about all these different nuances about the flow of the show, the arc of the show. It's like watching a movie or writing a book, you know, where you have to think about the overall flow of it. So
what song have you gotten the most feedback on? What is the one that boils to the top when you talk to your fans?
Most recently, it's been hands down, Truth Be Told.
I say I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine. I'm broken, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not, and you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know, so let the truth be told.
It's been a song that I think it hit at a time in our world where, you know, if we were all being honest, we've all had days where we're anything but fine in the last year and a half. This past year has tested and tried us like no other time, you know, in recent memory. And so I feel like that song was on the radio at a time where a lot of people were going, you know what, I'm trying to make myself believe that I'm fine, and I'm trying to make everybody else believe that I'm fine, but I really am struggling inside. I'm struggling with depression, or I'm struggling with anxiety over the pandemic, or I'm struggling with loneliness because I can't see my loved ones, or I'm struggling with unemployment and I'm praying that the stimulus check comes in, or whatever it might be. I feel like it's crazy how all of our lives are different, and yet this past year, I feel like if we've ever felt like we were in the same boat in at least one respect, it's felt like this has been the year for that. So, but I've had so many people, Corey, that just share with me about that song, and that song has been like a key they felt like they've been given that sort of helped them unlock a door and step out and say, I need some help in this area of my life. And man, that's seeing that and getting to witness that and really starting to see, wait a minute, like God could actually use one of my songs as a key to help somebody unlock that door and get the healing that they need to find. So there's a lot of hurting people, Corey, and guess what? I'm one of them, and that's why I wrote that song, because like my business is entertaining people. And so what happens when the entertainer is struggling in his own life? Where does he go? Does he keep pretending that he's got all the right answers, or is it okay to tell the world that you're that you yourself are struggling too? And so that song's my autobiography in 3-minute form. Imagine that. That would be the one that would resonate the deepest in recent history with listeners out there. I think it should tell us all something, that what the world wants is authenticity. They don't want you to put up a front. The world doesn't want to see a Christian who's pretending to be perfect, because that's not real. None of us are. What the world needs to see is somebody who's broken just like them, but who's found healing in a Savior who never gives up on us. And so I'm trying to tap into that with the one life that I get.
The how-to of writing a song, just out of pure curiosity, who wins in this contest? Pen and paper, laptop, or voice memo?
Oh, man. That's like three horses at the Kentucky Derby running neck and neck with a photo finish. Let me display it for you. I'm actually sitting here, if I can paint this picture, I'm sitting in my studio right now talking to you. It's called The Story House, and I'm sitting at my piano. I'll prove it. I have a second phone where I keep all my voice memos sitting on the little mantle in front of the piano, and my laptop on top of the piano. And so, and then I also have a leather journal next to it. And so I'm frantic, like when I'm writing, and sometimes I like to handwrite lyrics, and then I'll move over to my laptop and I'll start typing them. I have a voice memo from last week that is 41 minutes and 49 seconds, and I haven't even gone back to listen to it, but I just left it running, which is why I have to get like the largest iCloud package. Here's another one that's 52 minutes. So like entire songwriting sessions will be on my voice memo. So I would have to, I guess the short answer to that is the voice memo is crucial, because there's little voice memos of me whispering on a walk with an idea that I get, and it's such a great way to capture the idea before it disappears.
You ought to dig out wherever Truth Be Told first started, if you have a voice memo of it. That'd be a cool social media thing of like, here is the stripped down how the idea began.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Great idea. That's a great idea. And I do. I keep all those. Like I'll stumble upon old work tapes. And I think if anything, if I showed that, it would give everybody hope to go, like, it's sort of a metaphor for life that you always see people post what is it, like how it started versus how it's going,
or
something like that. I mean, I love the idea of, you know, if people could see the origins of a song and then what it becomes when it starts. And it really, the what it proves is that everything's a work in progress, you know. And I think people put pressure on whatever it is they create, but they also put pressure on themselves to be the finished final draft of themselves, you know, right away. And I do that in my life, like, let alone my music. But when I go back and visit the origins of A Truth Be Told or like Hello My Name Is, like, I can dig some of those up, and maybe I'll start by letting you hear them, and then we'll decide if we want the world to hear them. But yeah, like, they're all works in progress.
And we'll be right back.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Let's pick up where we left off.
There's one song of mine called Forgiveness that I wrote for 2 years, you know, like some songs, 3 hours, but some songs like 2 years. And that was one that I just kept tucking away. And then I would write a line and come back to it, you know, so it's all works in progress. And, you know, even when the record's done, that's the hardest part for me, because when the song's on the radio, guess what I'm thinking when I listen to it? I'm thinking it's not done. And I still got work to do on that song, but the problem is it's already been released.
If you could only see the way it started, maybe you would understand. That's original, that is fresh, that's right out of the oven.
Yeah, I think the late 90s called and they want their melody back. But we got to stay away from any copyright infringements, but I really like the concept. So maybe we'll give it some different music. How about that? Let's see.
for a second here.
Oh, if you could only see the way it started, then maybe you would understand. They were all. Now I'm singing. Now that's another song. I'll get over you. I know I will. What song is that?
I am the king of wishful thinking.
If you think my song comes out perfect the first time, then you're the king of wishful thinking.
Sorry.
Why have we not written together? Gosh, one of life's big questions.
Oh, man. I mean, we could have been the Simon and Garfunkel of our generation.
Yeah.
You know. Did you ever see, there was an old movie called Ishtar?
Yes.
And it's been voted like one of the worst movies ever made. But the first 20 minutes for a songwriter is gold, because it features a down-and-out songwriting duo, which would have been you and me if we had partnered up, Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman, and they think they're as good as Simon and Garfunkel. It takes place in the 70s. And the problem is they're terrible. I mean, they are so horrible. They can't write a song to save their lives. The songs they do write are terrible. Like, you know, they got asked to write a song for an elderly couple's 50th anniversary, and the song they came up with was, I'm leaving some love in my will, you know? And it was like just terrible songs. One was called, the lyrics said, there's a wardrobe of love in my eyes. take a look around and see if there's something your size. And so it's a 20-minute montage of them trying to write these songs, and they're the worst songs you've ever heard before. But I feel like if you and I would have teamed up, we'd be sitting around finishing up each other's sentences, and we'd write a lot of fun songs, but I'm not sure if we'd have a hit. I don't know, Corey.
I feel like the movie poster to our story would have a subtitle that says, "One went on to great things. The other, ... didn't."
The other saved the world with his animation gifts.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when it comes to the songwriting, like everything else, it's like I'm a firm believer in the theory of 10,000 hours, you know, and just I know you know all about that with your craft, and you have more than one skill that you've continued to perfect. And when it comes to songwriting, it's not this romanticized, like, oh, just every now and then the feeling strikes. And, you know, there's part of that, you know, and obviously, like, as a believer, you know, I've seen and I've had these moments where I feel like the Lord's really just speaking to me. But I also know the importance of showing up and working hard every single day. And imagine that, when you show up and work hard and make yourself available and spend time with the Lord, all those things add up. And so I feel like putting in those 10,000 hours as a songwriter is really important to me.
What happened to you that made you decide, I'm going to dedicate my life to singing about this guy?
That's a great question, Corey. There's several images popping into my brain all at the same time. And they're all moments that were leading up to a defining moment. And so what I'll tell you is the defining moment was I was starting to have some people pay attention to the songs that I was writing. I was a college student studying music, and we got tickets to go see Stephen Curtis Chapman and Audio Adrenaline at Assembly Hall Arena in Champaign, Illinois. And it was about a 45-minute drive from the college campus where I was attending. And we went to that show. I remember we had cheap seats, you know, sitting up high. It was me and three friends from college. We went to the show, and I sat there.
Saddle up your horses.
I, like, was mesmerized by the whole experience. Like, I can remember every opening act. I remember the way Stephen Curtis engaged with the crowd. Like, I remember he had a sore throat that night. Somehow he even made the fact that he was not in his best voice. He had a throat lozenge in while he was singing. And, like, I remember thinking, like, it was, how did he make that even, that was endearing. Like, I actually was rooting for him. It was like all of it was really special. But at the end of that night, I sat there and my friends were like, what is wrong with him? I was just sat there. I was crying. I don't know. I couldn't explain, like, emotions, like what I was feeling, but I really felt that night that God was calling me. Like, I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was clear as day. And it was this specific call that what I was going to be the next generation doing what I was seeing done that night, that someday I would be a continuation of what I was seeing, of that the Lord was going to use me to tell a hurting world that they can find hope in Jesus through the songs that I would write. I literally walked out of that arena, and I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that that was a moment that I'll never forget. And a crazy part of that story is after I had that moment, I kind of wiped my tears away, and my friends clearly thought, I mean, they're like, dude's having a breakdown or whatever. But I kind of pulled myself together, and we were one of the last ones to leave the stadium, and we were down on the floor, and we got lost, and I turned the corner down this, like, hallway, and I looked up, and it was Stephen Curtis Chapman, and we made eye contact, and then I just, like, turned and walked away. Several years later, I got to tell him that story and say, man, I was the kid in the crowd, and I remember, you know, that moment, so That's really what made me do that. And like I said, there are a lot of moments leading up to it, Corey, you know, listening to the voice of Billy Graham and seeing how he used his platform for one purpose only, and that was not to get credit for anything, but so that people would come to know Jesus, like all of those different things. And then, of course, my parents and the way that they, you know, just instilled in me the importance of living life for a greater cause, you know, not just being here for you, but knowing that God put you here to bring hope to others. So those are some defining moments that led me to do what I do. And that's why I get excited to get on stage, you know, because every time I get on stage is a realization of something that's come to reality that years ago was just a dream. I'll never forget that. Every time I get on stage, my mind goes back to Assembly Hall Arena in Champaign, Illinois. And I'm so thankful that when God says he knows the plans he has for us, guess what? He is not joking.
Have you had an artist come up to you with that type of story about how you've impacted them?
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. And now I understand why Stephen Curtis asked me to stop telling him that story, because he said it made him feel old. So if I ever hear like an artist say, man, I grew up listening to your music, man, I'm like, wait a minute. But it is probably one of the most like meaningful things to hear. And honestly, as part of what I do now is I believe in championing young artists. And so I've been working a lot with Kane and Wilson, and like, you know, Ann Wilson, she's this new artist, and I mean, she's like 18 years old, and we sat down to write, and she's like, can my mom come in and meet you? Because like they, you know, she grew up listening to my music, and I'm like, dude, that's amazing. And so now what's really cool is God gives me this opportunity to turn around and like speak into the artists who are just now beginning. That's pretty special.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network? Leave some feedback, write a review, hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?